Welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Jack, Married Man Chris. He's on the bandwagon to trade Tom Brady. And single guy Nick, who's living in a 1908 house in Los Angeles, has the original windows.
It does.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Don't forget about me, guys. You know, the fan favorite.
Oh, he's not here tonight.
Oh, wait. No, yeah, I am, guys. Yeah, I want to talk about the time I had the colonoscopy when I was 12.
Let me talk about my butthole and how I pissed stones.
Oh, man, that was a...
That was fucking terrible. That's what it was.
That was a horrible story. That was just something I could have lived without ever hearing, knowing. I mean, I know it's a bad... It's a rough thing to go through, but I could do without.
I'll tell you, you know, for those folks listening right now who are considering becoming Patreon sponsors, and if we get to that point where you can actually hang out during one of these Google Hangouts and do a live show, you would have seen literally three of us just like stepping away from the microphone and kind of like really looking to the right and left, kind of awkwardly hoping and putting my face in my hands, hoping that he would stop. But as you know, he didn't.
It's like a wind-up doll.
Just kept going and going.
He's the Energizer Bunny, huh?
But the worst part, he was at work as well. So like, we have to see him sitting in his office doing all that type of thing. I was like, I couldn't imagine myself at work doing that. But yeah.
Hey, he's happy.
I guess so.
That's all that matters. Well, there's never any dead air with Tim. I mean, it's consistent going. Well, I don't. Go ahead.
He even called me out at the end, like, Nick, I feel like I haven't heard anything from him. Like, what could I possibly add to this conversation? Like, I have nothing.
Well, my sound was down. I had, you know, I forgot, long story, but I forgot to turn up my sound for this podcast last week. And I told Colleen, and I go, it doesn't matter. I didn't say anything. I just basically laughed.
Mm-hmm. Or you laughed, or you kind of like made noises to make it sound like you're laughing because you're more disgusted. Which was it?
Well, the kidney stone one was, I was laughing. It was a uncomfortable laugh.
You're like,
I'm gonna throw up. Ah, my penis hurts as you keep talking. Oh, please stop talking. Because I don't know if I'm the only guy. I mean, most guys I think get that way. You see an injury or something like that, and it's in the midsection, you know, the mid region.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it. I mean, you just,
yeah.
It's like, you see, I was watching on YouTube one time. These guys they're punching. It was a game to punch you in the balls, you know. And that was a game. You know, like a girlfriend would come up to a guy and just punch, and they film it, and they post it on like that. Some of those websites. I go, how is this a game? How is this? Because if once I get up, I'm going to kill you. Because that's I'm going to say it right now. That's worse than giving birth.
Well, yeah, I don't get like it's. I remember like just dudes doing that, like just walk around like you're like only give the old backhand to the dick. Like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks.
We always called it Ric Flair when I was growing up. Because Ric Flair always smacked people in the chest, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you just walk by him, and then you go, like, you know, Nature Boy, whoa! And just smack him right in the dick. And you're just like, mother!
Yeah.
I've never actually done that to anybody.
No, I've never. I would never do it. Unless I was protecting myself.
I have had it done, and that was not great.
No, I had it done with a towel once. Someone smacked the towel right from behind, and I thought I was going to die.
Mm. You know, speaking of Nick, not Nick, I'm sorry, speaking of Tim, rather, how about those Chargers there, Jack?
That was exciting, wasn't it?
It was exciting.
You know, nothing better than losing the same way all the time. You know, I'm not an expert, but, you know, you're up by 21 with 25 minutes left. Probably not a good time to start running out the clock.
No.
But speaking of, we call our coach, our head coach, McBallis. So his name's McCoy, but we call him McBallis.
Ballis.
McBallis. I don't get it. I'd rather lose. Even Rich Gannon was saying, he was doing the game with the other guy. I don't know what the other guy was. But he's doing the game, and he goes, you know, he goes, I don't get this. He goes, as a player, when you take your foot off the gas, you can't get it back. And you can see that they couldn't get it back. I mean, they couldn't get it back. It happens all the fucking time. I mean, I know people complain about Bill Belichick running up the score and stuff like that. I mean, it gets to a certain point when you're up by 80, maybe you should cut back. But no, I respect the fact that he knows I'm not going to have a team come back and beat me. You know, I'm putting my foot on their throat and I'm choking them. Mm-hmm. McBallis doesn't do that. And I'm tired of it.
Because I don't watch NFL really, but I watch college.
Yeah, I hear you.
But, like the Tennessee-Virginia Tech game was this past weekend, and if you watch the first quarter, it's 14-0 Virginia Tech, and they're just dominating. Tennessee was horrible. And then just one fumble, and the whole momentum of the game changed. And Tennessee just never let up after that. It was like watching two different teams.
Yeah, college, you have to get higher up in the rankings, you have to run it up. It's kind of a stupid system, but like Alabama plays the 300th ranked team in the nation. They're going to score 90 points because they have to, because if they don't score 90 points, people go, oh, they only scored 60 against this terrible team. They're going to drop in the ratings.
Yeah. Mm. And that's why I tend to think like some of the schools, not the Pac-12, because that's just kind of the way their offense runs, but you look at a lot of like the Big 12, Big 10 schools, their conferences, like you have really good teams like Ohio State and Michigan, and everyone else is kind of average. And they play all these other teams for their non-conference games that are just like, who are you playing? And they just run them up because they don't have the strength of schedule that other teams do. So they have to play these weak teams to get those points up to 90-6 or something.
Right. You have to do that, which is stupid because you're not teaching sportsmanship, but you have to do what you have to do.
Hmm.
I mean, I saw Alabama this week. Nick Saban was up by 28 points late in the game. And
holy shit.
Do you see that?
Yes.
Lane Kiffin did something he didn't like, and he just literally tore into him. Yeah. I mean, Lane Kiffin's he's kind of a goofball,
he's a dick. Well, so is Nick Saban, but yeah. I mean, whatever.
But he just is screaming at him. I'm like going, God, you would think he was losing, but that's something a Belichick would do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wouldn't take. He's like, you know, it's like the time Buddy Ryan punched Kevin Gilbride because he didn't like his call. They were defensive quarter, and Buddy Ryan went over there and punched him in the face. And after Kevin Gilbride became the Charger head coach for a year or two, I wanted to punch him in the face. So I agreed with Buddy on that one.
Yeah. Speaking of punching on the field, did you see that clip of that the lower division college where I think he was a offensive lineman just decks a referee and knocks him out cold, one punch?
Really?
Yeah. You could YouTube it. I'm not sure what teams it was. But
I think I saw a headline about that. I don't think I didn't actually see it.
So I'm guessing suspension?
They didn't say what it was, but you'd have to kick him off the team for that. You can't disrespect a ref.
You can't put your hands in a ref.
No. I mean, in the rule book, they're considered a blade of grass, but only in play. But yeah, once the play is over, yeah, you can't touch them.
Mm.
Yeah, I had a kid one time, 17-year-old kid, when I was reffing, he turned around and I was breaking up a fight. He turned around and punched me. Mm. And I just kind of grabbed him and threw him into the glass. You know, like I go, you're hitting me. And I was very forceful all the way over there. And one of the parents was like, I could hear him, you know, she was saying, I came out there, you were abusing that kid. And someone goes, no, he got punched. He punched him. He had to, I said, yeah. I go, once he's gone to that level, I go, I'm you know, if he gets loose and beats the crap out of someone, hurts him, I go, I'm responsible. I go, he was out of control. He needed to be stopped. So that's just the bubble wrap generation we live in. So can't touch my baby. Can't touch my baby.
Did you guys see that? Or they didn't, I don't think they aired on TV, but did you guys see that guy that tried or didn't try it, but successfully got onto the field during the,
I heard about it.
Yeah.
So good. The best part though is Kevin Harlan was the guy who was giving the play by play, and it was awesome. He actually gave a play by play of the streaker.
Oh, did he?
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Like he's to the 40, he's to the 30.
To the 40.
The shirt is off.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
they didn't show it, did they?
No.
No, because they don't. That's their policy. They don't show it anymore.
Yeah, I'll throw a link to it in the chat here so you can see it, Jack.
Okay.
It's actually pretty funny. The call is gold. but yeah. So speaking of, you know, as you watch that video, Jack, if you want to pull it up there, you know that guy is going to be feeling it tomorrow. But I want that's kind of a loose. What's the word I'm looking for? loose relation to the story I wanted to talk about something I saw today. Loose connection. What the fuck? What's the word I'm looking for? What's the term?
Loose connection.
Yeah, sure. That's not it. But
you know, we need Tim here. Tim would know.
Yeah, seriously, Tim would know. Tim's.
That's a loose butthole. That's what it is.
It's a loose dick and butthole. But anyways, it is. Shit, it's gonna piss me off. I'm gonna tell a story, and it's gonna.
It'll come to us.
Right in the middle of the story, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing and tell it. But I saw this really cool ad this morning, and it was one of those like Facebook ads where I was like, "No, that can't be true," but. So I clicked on it, and it is pretty awesome. And of course, I've lost it. There it is. It's called Hangover Heaven. Have you heard about this?
No.
So Hangover Heaven is a form of healthcare, I guess you could say, which is currently available right now in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
So what it is there's like this truck. You know how you have like those mobile blood drive trucks, whatever, like the big, huge. Trailers. So they drive up and down the strip, and they also offer in-room care as well. So what they do is they literally hook you up to an IV.
Wow.
Of like tons of like B12, like vitamins, fluids, like, and tons of like just like, you know, stuff to flush your system and get you going again. And it's supposed to be a 45-minute hangover cure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great deal, because I'm sure the casinos want it because they want you back on the tables.
It's a good point. It's a great point. Why wouldn't they?
If you're passed out in your room, which I might admit that I've done that a few times in Vegas.
Sure.
Yeah, they don't want me. I'm not. If I'm passed out in my room, I'm not spending any money.
And that's a really great point. They could probably make a boatload of money off that if they can partner with hotels. It's not cheap. So I was looking at it before the show started, and I wanted to see what the treatments would be like. So for an in-room treatment, ready?
Yeah.
So it's three people. It is three. They call it salvations. each one costs $199.
Oh.
And then a house call fee of $300. Total cost of $897.
Wow.
And that breaks down to $299 a person for all three people to be treated in the comfort of their own room.
Wow.
You got money to blow, though, while you're there. And depending on how hungover you are, you know, think about, like, if you got somewhere to be.
You're like, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, here's the I'm just looking. There's like, all these different, like, variations of the treatment. But like I've had a $299 hangover. Like I would absolutely pay that money to cure it. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of awesome because it makes sense. It's legit. That's a scientific thing. You're replacing your body with fluids and vitamins, and supposedly it cures pretty much every hangover. But they also do other things like headaches, heartburn, intro, like all these different types of things too. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, having a hangover can be the worst thing in the world.
Segway, fucking segway. That's the term.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what?
I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Having a hangover is the worst thing. Segway.
I told you it'd come to me halfway through.
Well, there you go. You got it. You could sleep tonight. That would drive that stuff like that drives me crazy.
Yeah, the worst.
Then I forget about it, and then about six the next day I go, oh, that's right. What was I thinking about? God damn it, now it's in my head again. Idiot. Anyway, so what else is going on, guys? And I saw the Patriots won, so I know you're happy.
Oh, yeah, what a game. I mean, I know there's probably a percentage of people who listen to this show that actually give a shit about NFL. And
I know Tim does.
Yeah, Tim does, and there's a large percentage of people who don't, but I don't really care.
Well, you know what? If people send in feedback, that's the direction the show would go.
Yeah,
that's
there true. You go. Send your feedback and then
give us a topic.
Yeah.
You direct the show. But great game though. So, you know, for those who haven't been living under a rock, you know the whole Tom Brady suspension is now.
Was he suspended?
Yeah, mm-hmm. four games.
The ruling judgment whatever was overturned, so then he had to be suspended.
So he served his first of 4-game suspension, which was opening night. And we had our backup quarterback in there. He played very, very well. But the thing that was so impressive is that the team just had a really, really balanced offense, from the running game to the passing game to multiple receivers, to multiple, you know, it was just awesome. They played well, and the defense stepped it up in the absence of Ninkovic. We had three of our star players not in the game.
Right.
And we still won.
Starts with coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of luck, too, because I'll be honest with you. I'm sorry for Scott in Arizona. If you're a Cardinals fan, your guys really fucking blew it in the last couple minutes of the game. But it was awesome. It was a great game to watch.
All right. Who's having the sirens come to their neighborhood?
It's L.A.
You? I was going to say. It had to be.
It's L.A. Yeah. I mean, just nonstop, really. You get used to them.
I did have a topic I wanted to bring up because I was at my grandson, Zach. He had a little get together at his school, and my wife and I think Zach is a genius. I mean, Colleen's very intelligent. Jay's intelligent. So you're just thinking, you know, I'm sure you think that way of, you know, Chris, of Emma. You think that she's just the smartest little girl in the world. You mean, look at, she's pooping on her own. I mean, you just think, you know, I always thought my kids were the smartest. And Nick, I'm sure you have nephews and, you know, that you think are just, oh my God, they're just so brilliant. So we're there, and there's three kids that didn't have their grandparents there with them. So somehow they just came around us. We were sitting down, we're doing things, you know, we're reading with Zach and stuff like this. And this one kid, there's these shapes on the carpet. There's like a circle, a triangle, all this different stuff. And he's like going, this is a circle. This is a triangle. This is a square. And I'm just like going, this is amazing. I mean, it just you're sitting there going, wait, my grandson, what is this, Zach? He goes, you know, blue. Zach, you know, you're trying to go, come on, Zach, come on. Then the kid goes, this is an octagon.
Fuck you, kid.
I just went, are you fucking kidding me? I just went, and Cindy looked at me and go, yeah, it's an octagon. And then he had these popsicles with numbers on them. And he's like, I go, what number is this? He goes, 10. I go, dick.
Like, no, dummy, it's 01.
Yeah. he's like, this color, that's violet. That's blue. That's orange. I'm like going, and Zach is a smart kid. And Cindy goes, well, I know what the deal is. He's a little taller than Zach. He's probably 3. He's probably closer to 3. So I go, okay, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it. So we asked the teacher over there. She goes, how old is this kid? She goes, oh, he just turned 2. I go, fuck no. There's no fucking way this kid just turned 2. And she's like, just looking at me. Of course, I wasn't swearing. Like, I go, 2? Are you kidding me, 2? They go, oh, yeah, his parents work with him 24-7.
Yeah.
And Jay told me, they go, oh, well, that kid, oh, his parents don't even let him watch TV or anything like that. I go, nerd.
I was about to say, like, it's like a lot of that's pre-programmed because my brother-in-law runs the Boys and Girls Club in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And his firstborn, I know he did all that crap with him. The second one, not so much because no one cares about your second kid.
No, you don't. You stop caring as they go on.
But he did the same thing. Like, you know, you start memorizing shapes, then you start going to body parts. So, like, even before he was 2, he could be like, where's your nose? And he'd point, like, where's your arm? He'd point, like, everything. And so a lot of that's just repetition in their heads. They really don't know what they're saying. It's just, like, they know the word and they know where to point or what, you know, so it's not. No,
I think this kid knew.
Okay.
This kid, I mean, it was just like, because Zach is a really smart kid. I mean, he's a really, I'm not just saying that because he's my grandson. He's a really smart kid. But this kid, I'm like going, fucking Einstein? It just was blowing me away. I'm sure you've had the same thing with Emma. You sit there and go, oh, look at my kid. Look at him. Like, look at him run. And then the kid runs by her. You know, it's like,
you know, it's funny, too, because there's the whole theory of, like, you know, what type of learning that the kid is going to have if you have those parents who are seriously, like, working with them from their education standpoint 24 hours a day.
Right.
Like, there's something to be said about let the fucking kid be a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And because that kid's going to get his fucking ass kicked in, like, this first grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no.
In my nose.
But I've been recently becoming amazed. I mean, I've been amazed by my daughter since the day she was born. But recently, like, just some things that she's been able to do are just, like, mind-blowing to me in the same sense, right? So Emma's 4, and I just introduced it to her like literally maybe a week or two ago, just like on a whim, just to try and see, you know, if she would get the concept. But she can add and subtract. And I had to Google. I'm like, is that normal? Like, is that like, can kids do that? And I guess like there's a certain population of kids that can, but like in her, the kids in her class, they're learning how to write. And we got a note home today from her doctor, our doctor, from her pre-K teacher.
Her professor.
Yeah, exactly. Her pre-K teacher told us that she's actually writing, like being able to, like, you know, not writing like novels, but her penmanship, being able to, you know, write letters and such and put words together.
She should take my notes for my, when I'm writing notes for my podcast so I could read them.
And she was saying that like she's doing so well that they actually have to pull her aside and give her harder stuff so she
really
wasn't bored. And I was like, huh? Like, I didn't learn how to write till I don't even know how old I was. I was playing the dirt with Matchbox cars. yeah, so she's able to do like simple math of like adding, you know, two numbers together, subtract them. I mean, she uses her hands to do it, but she gets the concept of it, which
is that like, something you guys work? Like, is that something you guys really worked on, or is it just
kind no, not at all, not at all. Like I said, like I literally introduced the concept of adding two numbers together or subtracting one from the other like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, I'm like, use your hands. So you put your hands up. You start with four. You add one. What do you have?
Right.
And she start. She picked up on that like instantly, and she just got it. And I was like, that's fucking cool, man. I don't know. I obviously any parent or any grandparent's going to be super proud of what their kid can do. But yeah, it's just, especially that, how old is Zach? Two, three?
He's two,
two and two, two and months.
A couple months. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like born June 13th. So what is, so be,
yeah,
27.
Don't do it. Don't use that 27 bullshit. He's 2 years, two years. He's 2 years.
I agree. I never did that, but I just don't want to have someone politically correct person on the podcast. So.
I don't want to have to do math.
Yeah. I was told there'd be no math.
No, but, I'm fascinated too. Like the way people learn, the way people's brains work, like manners, mannerisms, anything like what makes people tick. And I learned not too long ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that I never learned properly how to read. Because like it's like 28% of the population doesn't learn how to read the way normally, as in like your shirt, they're like Franklin, like actually going Frank, like enunciating all the syllables.
Hooked on phonics.
Well, yeah, but like I have a very good memory, and the way that my brain learned how to read was I just memorized the word. Like that word means five. That word, the way it's shaped, it means that. And so it's, I don't know if it's a form of dyslexia, but it's kind of like that. It's a little bit of a mental thing to where you don't enunciate the spelling, you just see the word and know what the word is. And so when I was even in high school, if I came across a word I'd never seen before, I would just pause because I didn't know what that word was. And people go, can you not read out loud? And I'm like, no, I'm just stuck on this word.
I had a biology teacher once. We used to have to read out loud, and it came up to this word. I couldn't figure it out. And he goes, and he made a joke, and the whole class laughed. And so I just went, I closed the book and put the book down. He goes, continue reading, Mr. Glaffelder. I go, no. And he goes, what do you mean, no? I go, I tell you what, how about I go to the principal? You send me the principal. He said it was in, I go, I'll go there and tell him why I wasn't reading. And so I go, and don't ever call me again because I'm never going to read again for this class. And he'd call me. I go, I just look at him. I go,
no.
I would. And so eventually he stopped calling on me. Because my biggest problem when I'm reading is I have to slow down. Because I'm like three or four words ahead, so I have to come back and slow down, read this word.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, just the way it is. But you were talking about the kid being worked, you know, sometimes you have to be a kid, and I've talked about this a number of times, and we actually talked about today about when my kids were in school about doing homework. I'm very anti-homework. I feel the kids go to school. Whatever they learn in school, that's it. I mean, you could study for a test. You could study for a spelling test. Or if you have a test coming up, study for that. But this 3 hours of homework crap is, to me, a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
And because I was saying today, I said, because I used to have to do their homework when they were, we sent our kids to Catholic school. I'm not Catholic, but the rest of them are. And there were some weeks where they would just study their religion, what they had to do, whatever was going on with the school. And I actually said one time, I go, look, God's not going to give you a job. Why aren't you guys learning the basics, math and stuff like that? And they remember me saying that. I go, this is a bunch of bullshit. So they go, yeah, because Dad would always get mad when we're doing the homework. I go, well, you know, I've worked all day. I got to go to another job. I go, and I'm spending my 3 hours I have off doing your guys' homework. What did you guys do in school? I just, because out here, I don't know about it, where you guys are at, but here a lot of kids ride the bus to school.
Yeah.
There's some kids that don't get home until 5 o'clock. I see buses till 5:30 at night. Jesus. The buses are getting picked up. Like, I see kids lining up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then they got to come home and do homework. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a one of those viral posts or whatever. I'm not even sure if it was local to here or if it was something that got picked up on Facebook or not. But there was a teacher at the beginning of this year that sent home like a letter to all the parents, and I'll paraphrase it from what I remember. And the teacher was saying, you know, that we're trying something new this year, and I will not be assigning homework for your kids to take home and do after school. Instead, I encourage you to spend the time as a family, having dinner together, doing family things, being outside and being together and trying to have instilled like the family values.
Right.
Instead, I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. Like, I mean, granted, any kid's going to be like, hell yeah, that's awesome. You know, but you know, it's funny. If you look back in like the past, like, you know, 5 to 10 years, you know, how many people don't actually sit down and actually have dinner together,
right?
Or go out to dinner together if you're not into the whole cooking thing. But, and I'm no sociologist, and I can't maybe extrapolate anything more than that. But I mean, kids are fucked up today.
Yeah,
they I mean, are. That's the bottom line. Like, I mean, and I feel like, you know, when I grew up, there was, you know, we had homework, but it was nothing. It was never any soul crushing amounts of homework. But there was one thing for sure, is that we all sat down and had dinner together,
right?
Without question. And today it has to be, in my humble opinion, today the version of that is that you have to get together in the same house, and you have to put your fucking phone down or the iPad away and sit down. Yeah, like, and just sit down and talk about your day, talk and be a family. Because I feel like, you know, you're looking at, you know, as the broadcast mentioned, like the millennial generation of people, I don't think have that as much, or especially not now, the kids today. Like, there's it's such a removed part of like a family culture, I feel like. I mean, I can't speak, again, I don't know the masses, but I think that's so important. And that's one thing that in my house, like, that's a steadfast rule, is that when we're eating dinner, there's no toys,
right? You
know, mom and dad have no phones. And it is awesome, because there's one time where I had gotten a text, and I picked up the phone. Bad me. I, you know, slapped my wrist. I picked up the phone while I was walking over to the dinner table with plate, and my daughter, again, who's 4, fucking yelled at me, and it was awesome.
Gave you a timeout.
I was like, "You're right," and I just put it down, and we sat down and had dinner. And like, you do this, the typical things, like, you go, what was your favorite part of the day? Like, what'd you learn today at school? And then that turns into, okay, let's go around and tell a quick story about something that happened today. And it sounds so stupid and cheesy and all that shit, but like, it's my favorite part of the day. It really is. Like, I forget about work. You know, my wife forgets about work. Emma forgets about Jake and the Neverland Pirates for that, just that 5 minutes or 10 minutes, depending. Right. But it's so super important. So kudos to that teacher, which, going back to the story, kudos to that teacher who decided to put that send out that letter to home and really encourage some of that family time together, which is pretty awesome.
Well, I think we get so worried. Oh, we're falling behind. We're falling behind as a nation. But I don't think more work is the answer.
No.
And I'm all for hard work. I'm all for people less, working hard. But there's a
less bullshit.
You know, when I go to my job, the last thing I want to do is come home and go, oh, what else can I do for my job? You know, I don't want to do 3 more hours of my job. I want to do whatever I can. But, you know, like you said, I know my wife and I, when the kids were growing up, we worked a lot. But every Friday night, we had family dinner. We'd go out to a restaurant and have family dinner. It just that took them out of the, you know, that they have Game Boys and stuff like that, but not the kind of stuff you have now.
Right.
I don't know if I could be a parent now with all the technology and fighting with that. It would drive me crazy, but.
you know, it's funny. Like, I never had sit down dinners with my parents. We did on the weekends, but not during the weekdays. My dad, I grew up on a farm. He was at work 5 a.m, getting home till 7, 7:30 every night. And I was in bed at 8:30. And as we know how my mom loved to put me to bed. But my dad and I am as well. I'm a firm believer. And if you're going to teach something, or if you're going to do something, do it right the first time.
Right.
And yeah. I think a lot of people today take shortcuts, and it's in everything in life, because like, even like you're talking about work, Jack, like, if I am teaching someone, a new employee or a young employee, how to do something, I'm teaching them 100% how to do it right the first time. If they need to take notes, or if I need to give them something, I will. But if I give them a lazy ass version of how to do it, that's how they do it 100% of the time, because they don't know any more than that.
Right.
And I don't believe in doing things half-ass. And so my dad, even though I didn't see him much as a kid, I still have a very good relationship with him, because he was there when he could be.
Right.
And I don't fault him for anything he did, because he did what he had to do.
Right.
Yeah, no, my dad started this business. He would go to bed like at 8 o'clock, because he had to get up at like 4 o'clock, and he'd work till like 5, 6 o'clock. He was working at first, he was working 7 days a week. Then he started dragging me there. Every summer I had to go there and work, and I'd get up at 4 o'clock. I'd have to be in bed by 8 o'clock. So my whole summer is being screwed, because everyone's going to the beach, everyone's doing this. No, I had to go to work with my dad. And it's funny. I said, God, I wish I would have not been such a dick about it, because now I wish I had that time. But as a kid, you're just thinking it's a punishment. But he was teaching me a work ethic. You know, this is how it is. This is how it is. This is how it is. But yeah, it's the same thing. There's times you didn't see him. But my mom was always home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom up until I was like 14. She always wanted to work, but my dad's like, my dad was old school. But finally, they worked that out. But I'm not saying women shouldn't work. I'm not saying that. If you want to work, work. Everybody do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I'm not judging anybody.
Yeah, here's a
how to put that in real quick, because I didn't want to get hate mail.
But that's what I mean, like, that was a random thought that kind of popped in my head too today, about like, because listening to Shandy and feminism, and I actually had a pretty good Facebook debate with her about some things. It's like, wait a minute, 60 years ago, women were in the home and they didn't work, and then yet women were bitching to get out of that. I was like, I would love that if someone's just like, hey, stay at home, I'll pay for everything. I'm like,
I am not touching this story with a 12-foot
pole. I know, but it's just one of those, like, in my mind, I'm like, that would be pretty cool.
I don't know why women complain. It was a man that invented the oven, the microwave, and the vacuum. So what do they have to complain about? I'm kidding. I was actually going to put that on Facebook. I had it written out, and I go, some people might not think this is a joke. I'm going to back away from that. That's why I knew at the top of my head that that's what it was. I had the names of the people that did it. It's kind of like stirring the pot, but I said, no, man. I'm going to back. If I was younger, I probably would have done it, but now I'm older. You just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But anyway, it's like for me, it's like, the kids today, they can't tell time. They can't do anything. When I was out playing,
We don't have watches like you did, Jack.
Well, we don't. But I had to be home. It was, if dinner was at 5 o'clock, my ass better been hands washed, sitting there ready to go at 5 o'clock. There was no. You're a minute late. Hey, I'm stuck. I'm still playing baseball. Whatever it was, I got to go, because we had dinner every day at the same time.
Yeah, I had a clock though, but people always like debate now, like, what's your curfew, and growing up, and I was like, oh, it's simple. I was like, when you're a kid, it's when the sun goes down. I was like, and then once you're in high school, it's whatever grade you're in. And that's what my rule was for my parents. Like, oh, in your ninth grade, 9 o'clock, 10th grade, 10 o'clock, because the advice is, especially from men, if you can't get it by midnight, go home, because it's not worth the effort. So
they're just a friend.
Yeah.
Right.
I always love, going back to like a friend zone type thing, I always love the, when women do give you that shit and they're like, I just want to be friends. And because my comeback every time was, I have men for that. Why would I ever want to be your friend?
All right. Have you ever told a girl, I just want to be friends?
No.
I have.
Not in a while, because of course I got this little thing here.
Right.
In my younger days.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah, I mean, not to beat the dead horse, but yeah, I mean, I think that they talked about that, and I actually provided feedback on their show. I think it was I was a couple episodes behind, so by the time I left the voicemail, I was beating a dead horse. but yeah, I think that there's that topic is still open on the show. I mean, I think here's the thing is that at first, like, it was a few episodes back when they started talking about it, and it first popped up. My perception of the conversation as it started was it doesn't exist. It's not even a thing. It's just some stupid thing that people made up in high school and college. But the conversation on that show has changed to the fact that no, it's a thing, but it's still just a stupid thing. And I still disagree with that. I mean, I think that it's a way
not to hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah, it really is. And I think John Norton sent in some really great feedback, I thought, actually, on the show of saying of, you know, here's what it is. Like, and I wish more people didn't use it and more people were much, much more upfront and honest about things. But the fact of the matter is that, yeah, most of those friend zoning things, for me at least, and I think for many, happened in high school, happened in college when,
mm-hmm. yeah.
People involved are nowhere near as mature as they might be now, right? So yeah, of course. And here you go, social maturation. Just mm-hmm. created that term right there, fucking trademark. but I think people grow up is what happens. And then like now you can have that conversation, you can say those things probably a lot easier than you would with your 17 years old or even your
right
19, 20 years old in college. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely did that. I know in the last 2 years where like I took a girl out on a date, or actually more than one, like probably three or four, and.
Except now it sounds like, no, I'm not fucking you. So,
well, no, like I've done it where like, you know, there's that moment to where like you really like this person, but you already know in the back of your mind, okay, this is not going to go past so many months.
Right.
And, I've always been a very honest person. That's why, like, when you guys think, have you guys ever said, have you ever told somebody you want to be friends? I'm like, no, I just will just simply say, look, this is not going to go in a relationship way. I was like, but, and you don't really quite say, do you want just to be friends with benefits, but you're kind of hinting at that at this point, because you've probably already kissed. You've probably already done some heavy petting. Going back to last week. So like, you know, sometimes, especially women, like I said, like women, when they get in their early 30s, early, like, you know, like it's like, oh, okay. Like it's just a casual thing, especially in like a big city like LA. It's like, oh, I'll meet somebody next week anyway, but okay, for now, let's just go do this right now. And if I meet somebody else, great. If I don't, then I'll just keep hanging out. There's
20 million people there. So,
yeah. And so it's more of an adult thing. I called into the broadcast too. And what I was trying to explain about friend zone was kind of similar to that, where you've been on dates, you've already made out, you've already shown an intellectual capacity to where you're clicking. And then all of a sudden, if a girl just looks at you,
I like
you,
how you're doing the fingers there. I'm sorry to throw you off.
I know you derailed me. But yeah, like you, and then all of a sudden she just looks at you and goes, I just want to be friends. Or like, or she actually says, I don't want to take this any further. Yeah, further. And then a week or two later, she calls you or texts. She's like, hey, what are you up to? I'm like, no. You've already cut that bridge off, you know, or that path. Like, don't be giving me a, hey, what's up? Or a booty call. Like, no.
Hey, what's up? I'm bored.
Yeah. No, see, it's so funny because these topics of conversation come up every morning on this radio show that I listen to on my ride to work. And it's hysterical because it's okay, I'm generalizing here. Disclaimer, I'm generalizing is that, you know, the women always want what they can't have, right? And the whole bad boy thing, which I think you brought in on that call.
I did.
And then it's like I'm not really interested. But then the second you went and got a girlfriend or started dating somebody, that chick is sure as shit going to be hitting you up. Like,
you're more attractive now
or whatever, because it's, yeah. But then you break up with the girl and maybe try to go back to the girl number one. And then she's like, nope, I'm good. Forget it. Right.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't want you anymore.
And that's a generalization. That's the typical mindset of the fairly immature side of women. I'm not saying all women are like that, but it's funny. So on the same show, they started talking about the friend zone today. I almost drove off the road. I'm like, not a fucking again.
It won't go away.
But crazy texter texted into the morning show this morning, and they said that this girl went on a date with a dude in Boston at this really nice restaurant, and it was like a, you know, probably a couple $100 dinner, right? And they met, they went on a date, the whole thing. She said the date was like, it wasn't a bad date, but she just wasn't feeling it. So, and you know, they went out for drinks. She actually went out for drinks with him after the dinner and the whole nine. So, expensive night. The guy picks up the tab, as a gentleman does, right? That's a whole other debate for another time. And I guess at the end, the next day, or I think it was the next day, she said, "You know what? I'm just not feeling it. I don't think this is going to be a thing," right? So she didn't hear from the dude for an entire week. And then she texted into the show because the day before, the guy reached out to her a week later being like, "Well, seeing as this isn't going to work out, I was wondering if you could send me a check for half of the dinner and drinks from that night."
That's ballsy.
Yeah, like completely ballsy. And like, I mean, it's an expensive place. In the past, I've taken a date to this place as well, and that cost me quite a bit of money. And it was a very, very poor investment that night. But
did you get your half of the meal back?
No, I didn't. But the girl was a very good friend of mine. That was actually, I was friend zoned. Because it was I don't know how I got to this story, but this is going back to when I was just outside of college before I met my wife, obviously.
Nice save.
Yeah, thank you. And there's a girl that I had been seeing for a few years on and off in college with benefits. And after we graduated, after like she came out and we hung out and the whole night, we're very good friends at the same time too. But I learned during that expensive ass dinner that she had a boyfriend, and I was like, womp. Oh, well. She
didn't tell you beforehand.
I know. We weren't that good at friends, apparently. No, it had been a couple years in between.
She waited till after she got dessert. Oh, did I tell you I have a boyfriend?
No, yeah, but she's a sweetheart. She's a saint. It was worth every penny, and unfortunately it didn't work out in certain ways. But
yeah, that's fine. My last
me now, bitch.
My last two long-term girlfriends, though, both of them are from Chicago, strangely. But I remember both of my first dates with both these girls, they both went Dutch. Which being a Southerner was really weird to me, of like, you get there and they're like, "Oh, I'll pay for my dinner tonight." And I'm like, whoa, this is first date. It's my job to do this. You know, I open the door, I get you things. This is how it goes, at least the way I was raised. But then they came back with, "No, like the way that we do it in Chicago is we don't want you to think that you have to buy us things, that we're, you know, that now we owe you something because you bought us something." And I'm like, "Oh, okay." And I mean, yeah, it totally makes sense. And after you put it in that context, it makes sense. But like, you, in my mind, I was like, "Oh, is this date going bad? Are you automatically rejecting me at the beginning?"
Oh, so you're already thinking, "Oh man, what did I do?
Yeah, and it put me, at least I know for the first time that happened to me, in this really weird kind of position of like, "Oh, you know," that confidence kind of leaves you, man.
So you can't even relax and enjoy the dinner. You're thinking, "Okay, what did I do wrong? How do I get it back? How do I get it back?
Yeah. And then they explain, you're like, "Oh, that makes sense." Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting because I mean, that makes complete sense. Cause I know guys that have that mentality. It's like, "Well, hey, if I'm taking this girl out, I'm spending a couple $100 on a night out in town, blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
Like, as sad as it sounds, the next line that comes out of their mouth is like, "Well, I hope I can score, or I hope I can do something," right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the right way to think. I mean, I think it's actually a terrible way to think. If you look back on it, you're like, "Wow, that sounds extremely..."
Well, someone who has two daughters, and you have a daughter. Yeah.
Right, yeah. But and at the same time, like whenever, you know, when I was, you know, a single man and I was going on dates or whatever, blah, 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 I actually... See, I felt that I always wanted to take care of it because it's like, no, I asked you out. I'm going to treat you. Right. And in the case of that, the last person, like, you know, the one I just mentioned, like,
yeah,
I had already gotten it. You know what I mean? And this is after the fact. And I was more than willing to pay because it was me treating her out on a date. And that's just, I wish more people would have the latter mindset than the expectations being set by what you're.
But there are people like that.
Oh my God. I plenty. Like I would say many of men feel that way. And I know a ton of people that still act.
I know I ref a lot of hockey games and they'll be reffing with different people and they'll be bitching about it before we go out to ref. I took this girl out and I go, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean,
that's part of the game. I mean, you go out there and it's and the whole going Dutch side of things too, I think is actually totally cool. I mean,
yeah,
I would actually put up a fight a little bit, saying I would actually want to be the one who can treat. But I think that's awesome. That I mean, it's definitely a more recent trend, I think, of people.
But is that the norm, or is that just a small portion?
I think it's becoming the norm.
It's a norm. I think it's easier because if you get caught in that, are we going Dutch? We're not going Dutch. Should I reach for the check? Should I not reach for the check?
Yeah, it's a shame that it's going to be turning the norm because of what you mentioned, Nick. And I think I feel badly that is the reason why it's becoming the norm. But
There's also I'm the same. Like I did it. Like I always try to make it clear though. Like I will pay for all if you want. Don't feel you have to. But you know, if they're like, no, I want to pay half. I'm like, okay, fine. I let it go within one sentence. But there's also that other flip side to like the PC world now. And like even I've done it with the last two girls I've dated and actually went in for the first kiss. It takes a lot of the romance out of it now. We're in this whole my body, my choice kind of thing where. Like you can't no longer just like do something romantic and kiss a girl now. Like I almost ask every time now, like, is it okay if I kiss you? Cause I need that permission because I don't want to like all of a sudden have a woman screaming rape or something. And I'm like, cause we've gotten like that with this PC. I don't know if you guys have been married. You don't have that problem anymore. but I mean, I do because you're not quite sure. I'm like, you know, that's what they're constantly saying on campus now. Like you have to ask every 5 minutes, like on, you hear that on college news.
Well, I think because unfortunately you have people that have crossed the line. I mean, they have guys that have just flat out crossed the line. So you have to, it has to balance out. I mean,
yeah, dude,
it does. Yeah.
There's some people making some real bad news out there. And
you look at the Stanford kid.
For a quick second here, which is really fucking weird. I am literally looking at him right now because I have an article
up
on the screen. Yeah. because that fucker was just released from jail last week.
Yeah.
But like it's a terrible but perfect example of you know what's happening.
And he was caught red-handed and get 3 months.
Yeah,
I was shocked. I mean, I was just
I'm surprised he didn't get killed. Really?
Well, those two dudes that found them behind the dumpster, I'm surprised they didn't beat the living shit out of that guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have. Like that's the difference between like because I know like in where I'm from. Oh my God! If it doesn't matter if this guy is Andre the Giant, if he hits a woman or you see, oh my God, you take any kind of advantage of the woman and she screams no or whatever. I mean, you're going to get.
Well, she couldn't even scream no. Right. That's the fucking problem, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, but if me and came up on a guy having sex with a woman, pass that on the ground, it's not even I wouldn't even pull him off her. I would just immediately kick him in the fucking head, you just start stomping him because it's like, what is the matter with you?
But here's the reason why I'm actually looking at this dude, right? I had this article pulled up from earlier. So he was released from jail after not even 3 months, Jack. I think it was like a couple months. Maybe it was 3 months. I'm not even sure.
I don't know if he had house arrest. I don't know the whole thing.
But this piece of shit and his fucking scumbag family are trying to monetize the situation.
Yeah,
and I did a little cross reference this. I wanted to make sure I wasn't reading some fanatical Facebook headline bullshit news that so many people spread the news of like terrible clickbait stuff. But I found it on a few different sources.
I do believe in fake Hillary, though. I'm just kidding.
None of the sources were like CNN or MSNBC or anything like that. But it was on a multiple different semi-reliable websites. We'll take that for what it is.
Okay.
But his family is trying to see if they can put him on a fucking college speaking tour to talk about the dangers of party culture, of drug, alcohol abuse, and promiscuity.
How about no? I don't want to hear that guy speak.
I remember Hulk Hogan tried to do that same thing with his kid. What did he do?
He got drunk and he was driving drunk and he killed
driving drunk
and he got in an accident and his friend died.
Right, his friend. Yeah, right. And remember, and they released those tapes because everything you call from prison is recorded, and they released those tapes of Hulk Hogan's telling his son, "Don't worry, we're going to spin it to where." Blah, 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 and blame the kid who died, and we're gonna do a promotional tour. Well,
that's what the rich and powerful do. They just spin it. I mean, it just I have no desire to hear what this kid's story.
Part of me hopes that they attempt this because at that first rally or whatever you want to call it, speaking event, someone's gonna go up there and just beat the shit out of this dude and. That would be awesome. Like that would be poetic justice in itself, but I can't believe that his parents are pushing for this. It's like, go into a hole and try to let people forget about you first of all, which is never going to happen.
No,
but don't turn the spotlight onto you and have us to have to keep talking about this fucking piece of shit.
And to me, I said, I don't know the kid personally, but I don't think this is the first time he's done something like this.
No.
He's probably done it before. I'm sure he followed the girl out, knew she was intoxicated, and tried to take advantage of her. I mean,
for all we know, he could have roofied her. You never know.
Yeah, we don't know. And that's why my wife always told my daughters, she said, you know, if you walk away from your drink, don't drink that drink. Ugh. Don't do it. So if you, it's just the things you have to protect your kids now that, you know, growing up, I didn't have to worry about, you know, we didn't have to worry about that. But just like if you leave your drink, you never know who's going to put something in your drink.
So let's try to turn this away from such a terrible fucking story. I may have some.
That's what I was thinking too.
It is an advice show.
Yeah, it is. There was a time in college where I actually think I was roofied.
By Tim?
No. So in an attempt to try and turn the mood of this story around, I'll tell you an old drunken story of what happened to me once. And I say this because in college I was able to drink really well. I was really good at drinking. I was really good at drinking.
It was my major.
No, an Irishman from Boston? No.
And who played rugby at the same time. So I never got to the point where, like, parts of the night just disappeared, right? Where, like, I have no recollection of point A to point B. That rarely ever happened to me in my years of college drinking. But we held a recruiting party for our rugby team in which there was tons of entertainment brought to this party and paid to be at this party. And I got beat up by a stripper that night. I do remember that part. It was actually terrible, and that is like seared into my mind. It was, whatever. I'm not going to get that far into it, but so that night, like there was, I remember like a significant part of the night. One of the time of a stripper literally beating my ass with my own belt. That was the worst part ever. But there was a point in the night where the night shut off, and you know, we'll tell the rest of that story if you go onto Patreon and donate to Jay and Jack, of course. there's a night point that night where, I mean, I wasn't drinking heavily that night. I was drinking socially because I was actually like hosting this party at this venue, and I just at one point I stopped. I do not remember anything that happened after this one point of the night. And I have people give me accounts of what actually had happened. And I woke up the next morning and I looked up and I looked at my alarm clock and I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't own an alarm clock. And I roll over in bed and I look at the wall in my dorm room and I'm like, why is there a poster of a firefighter half naked holding a puppy? I'm like, holy shit, this is not my room. And I look at, there's a picture frame on the windowsill, and it's a picture of some of my friends. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, what happened? And in the dorm room in which I was living that year, it's kind of shaped like a figure eight, right? So there's a west wing and an east wing, and the center is where the elevator is. Apparently, when I got back to the dorm, I went to the room where my room would have been on the wrong floor.
Ah.
And went in and crashed in my bed, and the rooms are all set up the same. So, like, yeah, I guess, like, if you're kind of like ambling through your way, and you'd crash into what your bed would be. And thank God, the room that I went to was actually my friend's room. And Michelle, to this day, God bless her for walking in and seeing me ass up in her bed when she got home from wherever she was that night with welts all over my butt from me being in my ass kicked by my own belt. But that was terrifying. Like, I woke up that morning being like, what? I've never been out of my own control in that situation. So that's my theory, is that I may have either slipped one or picked up a drink that was actually roofied.
Yeah.
And that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And I have all of my friends who are with me had all the accounts of what actually happened, because they're the ones that got me to the dorm building. Right.
Right.
So I'm grateful that the night turned out the way it was and I was well taken care of, but it's incredible. Like of what that potently what could have happened had happened to me can do to you. So going back to your advice is that never walk away from your drink and pick it up again.
Ever. Because,
like, again, speaking as someone who in my prime days of drinking, like I literally was like a light switch where I have zero recollection.
And she used to tell him too, don't worry about offending anyone. It could be your best friend. I mean, but you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
So you just, nope, I'm done drinking that drink.
Yeah. 7 hours of unaccounted time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Nick said that happened to me yesterday.
No, I'm kind of the same way. Like I've always been able to drink a lot. In my prime, I could drink over a case of beer and be perfectly fine. It's only when I drink dirty brown whiskey that I would get snarling at people, you know, and because that's just the way whiskey does. I don't drink it anymore. I drank a fifth of Evan Williams in a half an hour when I was 20, and that's the only night I've ever blacked out and had no recollection. I remember waking up.
Do that.
Oh, it was one of those fraternity things where when you pledge, your big brother has a whiskey. Each brother has a different kind of whiskey, and so you're passing it to the next one. And it's just like, I think they did away with that because it's too much legal responsibility.
It's attempted manslaughter.
Yeah, pretty much. And the only thing I remember is I do remember at one point waking up, standing up on a urinal, like just basically the body just giving up. And
we'd have the squatty potty then. See.
Yeah, yeah. So, but and my thing is, my parents came to town the next day, nice. And I was still just hammered. And
so
drunk.
You need hangover heaven to come to your room.
That would have been a, yeah. Exactly.
40. That'd be $299 well spent.
Well spent.
That we'd like to announce our new sponsor for the Married Man podcast.
Oh, there you go. Seriously. Oh, imagine that if we actually do like a live Married Man in Vegas and get them to come up and take care of us.
We've done the drunk Married Man in Vegas.
I know. I remember listening to it.
Yeah, I probably won't do it again. I got somehow I ended up getting trouble, but I
have an IV of B12 in one arm and an IV of Guinness in the other.
It's funny because we purposely went down and said, okay, let's get drunk. Let's get drunk as fast as we can. So we're just taking shots. And then we went up to record.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, on paper, it sounded like a great idea, but no. It didn't work out. I had an angry wife waiting for me at the airport.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what? Because I couldn't remember what was said. But
did she listen to the show?
Yeah, she did. Because there was other people in the room, and we were bringing people up to the room. Hey, come on up. Come on. So people in the elevator, come on. There were people in there. I had no idea who they were.
Oh, man.
But I guess Taffy had said something that happened years ago, and I don't know. I I got in trouble for not stopping it. I go, well, I don't remember what even happened. She goes, you were that drunk. I go, well, yeah, but I go,
yeah, I was in Vegas.
I was in Vegas. You know, what happens in Vegas supposed to stay in Vegas, and I'll never record another podcast again.
What happens in Vegas gets published on iTunes. No big deal.
So, yeah, I won't do that again. That was a mistake, but anyway.
Yeah, like, go ahead.
You say you had a couple of things you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Shit.
I'm trying to get off this subject because I, you know, she if she listens again, she may bring it back up.
Okay. All right. Well,
luckily she doesn't listen.
Since we're talking about dating-ish kind of things, I'll talk about that one then. You guys are married and haven't had to deal with this, but I've noticed, especially since I moved out to California, that like when I'm meeting people, people are no longer asking for phone numbers. They're always just saying, hey, I'll add you on Facebook or add me on Facebook. And because it happened to me at Comic-Con with a girl and a guy, and it happened to me 3 weeks ago with a girl in Claremont, not San Diego, Claremont.
Okay. Inland Empire. That was my first thought.
Yeah. Because like I remember like one girl at Comic-Con, I actually gave her my phone number because she was like, hey, give me your phone. I mean, give me your contact information. And we'll hang out because she actually lives in like Laguna or somewhere. I was like, oh, cool. And I gave her a piece of paper with my name and number on. She goes, no, silly. Just add me on Facebook. And I'm like, oh, okay. But so this is the norm now, apparently. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I'll message you on Facebook. Let's go hang out. Let's go to a bar. It could be a guy or a girl. I mean, it's happened to me with different people. But once I'm doing it now, like I write them a message like, hey, let's go watch the Chargers game on Sunday at this pub or whatever.
Well, and they read that's the best place to watch a Charger game, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Where there is alcohol.
Yeah, you need it. But something like it. But the thing is that, you know, when you write a message on Facebook, you know, the little icon of their photo pops next to it if they've right. read it. So I've clearly seen that they've read it and then they don't respond that at advantage. All. Yeah. And like, well, the last one is the one that it made me think about this topic. It's the only one that really kind of irked me. It's because I went to Claremont to see a concert, like a little instrumentalist person play, and I'm sitting next to this girl at the pub for 3 hours. We're sitting there talking about music, movies. We're just clicking. Like, this is a really cool person. And she actually says, hey, I'm going to friend you on Facebook. I'm like, cool. So she friends me. I accept. You know, I'm like, okay, that's good. And then after the show's over, I go, I was like, hey, like, me and you have a lot in common. Let's hang out sometime. Maybe we see another show. And she's like, yeah, great. I'd love that. So I'm like, oh, great. This is a, you know, I'm not asking her to marry me.
I found the one.
Yeah. It's one of the moments. And so I write her a message, no response. And I'm like, okay, maybe she's just busy. You know, wait another 4 or 5 days. Like, hey, like there's a concert coming up in Destin, LA. Okay, I'm going to buy a ticket. Do you want to go? Doesn't respond. And I'm like, why the hell would you go through the trouble to friend me on Facebook, tell me, yes, I like hanging out with you, and let's go do something just to say, like, I don't want to do anything.
Here it is, Nick. Here it is. You got to beef up your Facebook page, bro.
I guess so.
Yeah. It's interesting. As I'm hearing you talk about this, it actually makes perfect sense. Like, Facebook is now, like, the credit check for relationships. Like, you're getting audited, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got
I didn't even think about that.
You got to, like, throw up some amazing shit on your Facebook page. You got to throw up some, I don't know, maybe look back at the things you actually have as your likes, or I haven't looked at your Facebook page profile in a while. I'm looking at your post by your profile, but like, you think about it, though, it's like that person gets your Facebook contact information, and they literally get to do like a background check on you and see what's this dude all about outside of the concert when we're sitting there talking about music. So yeah. I don't know, man.
I would say, you know what? My 401k just reached $2 million.
Yeah.
Just post it on there. Now, of course, that could backfire too, because now someone's going to think you have $2 million. You could have some crazy person following you that are going to hunt you down and kidnap you. And,
yeah.
But but if you want the girl, sometimes you have to take the chance. You have to roll the dice.
But that's something I never talk about. Like, and when I meet someone, doesn't matter if it's guy or girl, I don't talk about what I do for a living or money ever in the first conversation, because it has nothing to do with me as a person. It's just what I do. And I don't want that person to know.
I disagree with you on that. I think what you do has a lot to do with who you are as a person, right? I mean, if you think about it, right? So, like,
that typically comes up as kind of the, I don't know. I mean, for me, I think that comes up as like the, whenever you meet somebody, like the first couple of things you learn about them when you first meet somebody is what they, who they are, where they're from, and what do they do.
Yeah. But think about it from this point of view, like say you meet someone that you're like, oh, you're attractive. But then all of a sudden they say, I'm a doctor or I'm a lawyer or something that's going to make a lot of money. Does that girl who was like a 7 now become a 9? And you're like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about her being a leech on my money or something like that. I mean, it's a vain kind of a question, but there's people out there that will think that way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I guess. But at the end of the day, like, you know, by throwing all your cards out on the table, you'll probably find the one that doesn't care about that quicker.
What if she sure. says she's a stripper that uses a belt?
Holy shit.
Would that be a turnoff?
Flashbacks.
I actually kind of wanted to ask Chris where he was. I might want to go.
they were brought in. That was not an establishment. They were definitely brought in. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that right now.
I remember my fraternity days. We used to, on their bid night, always get strippers. Like, you know, when the guys were fresh in, like, hey, guys, we're going to get you some kick-ass strippers. You know, we get like four yeah. or five of them. Well, for some reason, whoever was president this one year just sat on their ass and didn't do it. And we're like, dude, we've got to have strippers. We could only find one, and she was easily in her 50s. And I remember these 18-year-old kids' faces.
Jack just got wicked excited.
50, yeah. Oh, didn't we talk about just like the podcast a couple weeks ago?
But it's like, you know, you have these 18-year-old kids who are really expecting something exciting to hear the music. They, you know, the stages, we got a little throw to stage going up. And this woman is just like, you know, saggy boobs. You know, she wasn't like a fine 50. I mean, she was really old and baggy. And like just the sheer horror on their faces of like, roll those titties back up. I don't want to see them.
You know? Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
God.
It's something you can't unsee, you know.
You just Timmed the podcast.
That you got a title.
That was your anal expression right there.
Okay. I'm writing that down. You just Timmed the podcast.
Nice.
Oh man.
But I never thought about that thing. I never thought about Facebook that's what they're doing when they want your Facebook. Because I don't, of course, obviously don't date anymore, but if that's what they're doing, I never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Why wouldn't you?
Probably on both sides. Probably guys do the same thing. I mean, you know, you got the guys that you said that want to look for the easy, you know, the girl that's going to be, you know, I'm buying the meal. I want something afterwards. You maybe look at her Facebook page. Okay, is she a partier? Does she do this?
And yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, think about it. Like, it's actually a really good way because if you're meeting somebody and – Nick, I'm gonna make this comment. This is nothing. I'm not saying this is your case or anything, but like, if you're meeting somebody in an environment like a bar or whatever, and you get to know that one angle of them essentially, right from whatever. But like, maybe they're going on, they're seeing things. You know, maybe you're not their type, right? Maybe it's, you know, because they didn't learn about what you do for a living. Maybe they find what you do. I'm not saying that is specifically for your case, but I think that anybody who goes on to the Facebook, I just said the Facebook, holy shit, I'm old. Mm-hmm. Anyone who goes on to Facebook and like looks at like his like almost like a background check would say, well, you know, I learned a lot more in the last 17 clicks than I did in my 2 hours or
maybe this talking. Maybe this girl likes Abraham Lincoln,
dude.
So
seriously. That's a shot at me, Chris.
Seriously. Why is Abraham Lincoln on your Facebook page? That'd be fucking hysterical if it was.
No.
He's making a joke because I'm a Southerner and Abraham Lincoln invaded the South. Yeah. That's why he's.
he's had many a post with the Abraham. I hate Abraham Lincoln. Not hate. I shouldn't say hate. Well, do you not take $5 bills? No, I can't take that. Give me five Washingtons. I can't take that $5 bill.
Why? The 50-year-old, the saggy boobs will. I mean, you might as well.
Oh,
and an I am so like fucking. I'll tell you right now, though. Like, I am so fucking glad I'm not in this. I don't have to deal with that shit anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. You know, it's, it, like I said, I've said on earlier podcasts. It's got its ups and downs because you get to the chase or the game in game a lot quicker than you do when you're in your 20s, because it's more like, okay, this is date two. It's either A, it's going to work, or it's not. Like, don't waste my time. I've only got a few more years left.
Well, you think it's because people are in such a hurry nowadays? I mean, you look at, you know, before there were microwaves, I was old enough to remember before there were microwaves, you had to sit there and wait 15 minutes for the – now it's like, 2 minutes? Come on, come on, come on, come on. It's like we keep inventing things to make our lives fat, you know, like the smartphone and all this. And it's still not enough time in the day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the microwave, technology is everything is faster. We can drive faster. We can get everywhere faster, but there's still not enough time in the day. You just think people are just growing up impatient. So you're saying like, oh, the second date, I already know if this is a good go or not.
Well, I don't mean like impatient. I mean, because like when you get in your 30s, and if you're still single in your 30s, you generally know what you want at that point.
Right. Well, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
And so it's like, oh, I'm attracted to you. But then once you've had a two or three times of talking to someone, you already kind of have an idea of, oh, we're not going to meet on how we raise kids. We're not going to meet on political views or religion views or whatever. It's like whatever will turn you off or on. It's you get to that point quicker.
Well, are political views important? I mean, would you date
someone? No, they're not important to me. It's just something I'm trying to think of. Because
I know people that wouldn't.
I'm an argumentative person. I love to debate.
Really?
And so if someone, because Jack, you and me are similar, as especially with politics. If someone says a strange idea, Democrat or Republican, and they think this way very strongly, I'm the person to go, well, why do you think that way?
Yeah.
And then they'll say something like, well, do you realize that you think that way because this president did this, this president did this, and it wasn't just one person. It all went in a chain. And then they kind of go, oh, huh. You know, because like, why? I want people to understand why they think the way they do.
Yeah. There's no simple answer, that, but people try to simplify it.
Hey, right. I think I figured out why she she's not down with hanging out after checking out your Facebook.
Shut up!
you got a video of a fucking peacock spider on your and one about hidden camera social experiments.
Right.
Those are your first two posts.
Yeah, you might not want to have that one. Hidden camera.
There's one about Abe Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's literally your third post. Oh my god, it's so good. It's Abe Lincoln like doing like a narrative about who's crazier, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump.
hey, look who liked that one. I believe Jack.
I did like it. I thought it was funny.
And for the topic of this conversation, I am going to love it. Hang on one second. Where'd it go?
Oh, I don't think I had an option to love it at the time. I think it was just like. No, that was a funny one. I do remember that one.
I kid. But I do love. Oh, I officially love it.
Okay.
You got fucking Abe Lincoln. You're probably.
This guy likes Abraham Lincoln. I'm not going on a date with him.
Ah, that's out the rise again.
That's a terrible Abe Lincoln. Terrible Abe Lincoln. He was like 17. It's awesome.
I did have something. You talked about a radio show earlier, Chris, and my wife and I were driving to pick up Zach the last Thursday, and the question was, what does your spouse, loved one, do, anyone, your significant other do that just drives you crazy? And so I thought I'd ask you two, Nick, what people have driven you crazy in the past, but Chris, maybe you could answer that. And
oh God, hang on, let me get my notebook.
Oh, okay.
Things that my wife does that drives me crazy.
And we could ask this for the listeners. They could send in call in, because next week we should be able to use phone calls. What drives you crazy about your significant other? What did you, to the point where you just get, because this guy that I ref with, he finally proposed to his longtime girlfriend to marry him. And one of the sticking points has been, he was talking to my wife about it yesterday, was, he asked, are you both clean? I'm like, going, are we both clean? Was he think we're on drugs? What is, I don't know what he's talking about. She goes, no, she was saying, are you both neat? Are you clean people? Oh. I go, well, yeah, we both are pretty clean. I mean, we're both, you know, I don't like to see a mess. She doesn't like to see a mess. She's a little more over clean. You know, she's more, her style of clean though, pisses me off. She always just puts it in a cabinet.
Oh my God, Jack, the same fucking thing.
If she doesn't see it, it's clean. Then I open up the cabinet, everything falls out. I go, gotta fucking love it. Fucking love the little. I go, we can't put in things nice and neat. If we can't see it, it's clean. And she just gives me a dirty look. But that's his stick. And she and my wife told him, look, if that's going to drive you crazy, you need to either decide now I'm going to live with it or say, okay, I made a mistake.
I have the same thing, like case in point, or like when you have, okay, so you got two people living together, right? You have a,
right.
So our house, we don't live in a huge house. I think our house is like maybe 1,200-1,300 square feet. It's not like a McMansion by any stretch. We have a kid. Okay. Shit accumulates. No question. Things just get, it happens, right? Art projects, leftover crayons that didn't get put away, or a chewed up doll that my dog just decided to dismantle. My kid left it on the floor. Which, by the way, is the best lesson ever for kids to pick up their shit is when the dog eats it. Right. But like I'll probably like leave. I'll have like a section of the counter. I know I put something there. I will always put like thing A in the same place. Like always. Like that's mm-hmm. where I put it.
Right.
Right. But it, because countertops, for instance, are designed to what?
Hold things.
Hold things. Right. Yeah. Like they're there to put shit on. Right. But every once in a while, my wife will go into like this cleaning frenzy where she's like, oh my God, the house is a mess. Blah, 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 blah. And she'll just take it all and go put it somewhere. And like, where the fuck is thing A? Like, it was here a minute ago. Where'd it go? Well, I don't know. Maybe if you clean up after yourself. I'm like, no, I did clean up after myself. I put it here. Like that was where that's where it was supposed to go to. And actually one of the thing A's was, my glasses, which I'm taking off because they're bent to shit because, when everything got scooped up and put away, there was no care taken into what was being scooped up and put away and they just thrown into the, into
the we have the same wife.
And I think we might.
Yeah.
Okay. Drives me up a wall when she does that.
Cause, the other thing she does too, is like, she gets in the zone.
I hope she's not listening.
She's at work right now, but she gets in the zone.
No, my wife.
Oh, your wife. She just doesn't like, she's got it in her head. She's got to go. She'll like walk right in front of me, cut me off, run into me. I go, what are you doing? She goes, you ran into me. No, I'm just standing here. I go, I'm trying to cook or something like this. She just, I go, and then I make the thing. I go, you know who you are. You're your mom, which is the worst thing. Cause her mom would do that. Her mom would come here and just, you know, literally I'd have to go sit down in the kitchen. I'd be making breakfast and she'd be going all just the same thing. Just go boom, 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 like a pinball machine. I'd just go, well, let me get out of the way and let you do what you have to do while the rest of us wait to eat so you can butter your toast, you know, because that's important. But that's what she does. My wife does that. But she did counter with me and I had to say, I have a bad habit of not shutting the cabinets all the way.
Like, oh, I'm terrible at it.
I'll push it. It either shuts or it doesn't. And she'll bitch and bitch and bitch and bitch at me. So what I'll do is sometimes, I don't do it all the time. I do it like once a year. I go downstairs after she's gone to bed and I open every single cabinet all the way open. Because if I know she has to get up first, I open up every single cabinet. It's all open. And I just go back to bed and go, I know I'm being a dick, but I feel better.
One of the things that I drive my wife crazy with. In fairness, I'll share with the things that drive her crazy is that, like if I'll light a candle or like a Yankee, is Yankee Candle a regional thing or is that a national thing?
It's a national thing. We have it. Yeah.
Is it national? Okay, cool.
Well, hold on, Nick. Are you okay with the Yankee Candle?
No.
The name could, we want to change
the name.
It to
the name offends me. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll let it go and I'll let it burn. And I definitely do forget to blow them out. I'll let them just go, and it drives her crazy. And I used to be like, well, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. Like they're just gonna burn out. It's gonna whatever. They're in a jar. Not a big deal. Until one time, and granted, it wasn't a Yankee candle. So, but all right. So background story. I'm an Irish Catholic. My wife is Jewish. We celebrate Chrismica, so we do Christmas and Hanukkah every year. And
seems fair.
Yeah, right. So I had we had a menorah on the counter, and had lit the menorah. I don't know what day it was. There's probably actually I could actually go tell you in a second. You'll hear why. I'll know exactly how many days it was, because we lit the menorah and we left on the counter where you put things, right? Where the counter is where you actually place things. And I had then gone to give my daughter a bath, maybe 15 feet away. And I'm sitting there giving her a bath, and Amanda, I think, was watching TV or something. All of a sudden, we're like, what the hell is that smell? Like, now I've got an infant in the bathtub, and I'm smelling this weird smell. And I'm like, and Amanda starts screaming. She's like, oh my God, oh my God. The fucking menorah lit the cabinet on fire because I put the menorah on the thing that we placed things. So this is all coming full circle. And there's like, right to this day, if you open the cabinet, I haven't fixed it yet because I haven't really felt the buying new cabinets. But, and you open up our cabinet, there's like, we'll say it was the seventh night, there's 7 burn marks like on the cabinet. You can see where it actually singed the wall. So,
nice. Well, you're lucky the house didn't burn down.
Yeah. Oh, so lucky. So lucky. Yeah, because it was, you know, they were like, what, the MDM, you know, medium density fiber board or micro board, whatever the hell that shit is for the cabinets or whatever. But yeah, super lucky. But case in point, my wife is valid in her things that drive her nuts.
Yeah, we all do things that, you know, it's a, because living together is the hardest thing to do. Being married is the hardest thing to do. Staying married is the hardest thing to do. I mean, it just really is. I mean, there's been times there's a time both my wife and I say, well, if you go, you're taking the kids. No, if you go, you're taking the kids. I guess we'll stay. So, there are times that you literally just don't get along. I mean, over the course, I mean, we've been together 30 years.
Wow.
But maybe 31. I don't know. I was young and happy back then. I don't remember now, but it was, you know, it's just hard to do.
Yeah. Were you guys ever in a relationship where she actually got mad at you because you didn't get mad? Like,
no,
I have a temper.
Yeah, I know you. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of the most laid back people in the world. I don't get mad really, unless you just deliberately do something. But I would have that people that it would do shit just because they're trying to get me a reaction out of me. And I just don't care. It's like, you know, I'll sleep tomorrow and I'll be over it. What's the big deal? And then so they get mad because I'm not getting mad over some makeup situation. I know I've told this on one of the podcasts. You know, I learned that from my dad because he was that way. We'd be sitting on the couch and him in his chair watching TV, and mom would come in because she's a school teacher. And she would be pissed off at something that some kid did or some other teacher did. And she just want to pick a fight with dad because it's like, I want to get this aggression out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she would just keep on and on. He would just keep watch TV, not saying a word. And then finally she'd just blow up, go into the bedroom, slam the door, you know, and he'd just look at me and go, yep, not a peace and quiet. You know, like he always found the positive and stuff. It's like, it's not about me, you know, fuck off. You
know? Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, the Jackie. I mean, you're right. I mean, let's see. What year is it? 2016.
Yeah.
Is it right? So yeah, I've been with my wife for 13 years. So not quite the 30 something years, but you know, it is hard. You learn to live with people. You learn to, you know, their quirks, you know, and sometimes you know exactly what's going to piss them off, but you're not smart enough to realize that you shouldn't do it because you, even though you know it's going to piss them off. But you also get to a point where, like, I can speak for my relationship that, you know, 13 years together, but we've been through a lifetime of ups and downs with many different things when you really realize like what's actually important. So even though you might be pissed off, like they're like live in the moment, it, you know, the true and great relationships, you can realize what's actually really important and what the fuck actually matters. But
my wife would go, she would go to bed mad, and I look, let's resolve this. It's, you know, mad. So she just go, I'm not talking. I go I could die in my sleep.
Exactly.
It's exactly what I said. Cause she goes, I go, well, if you can live with that you went to, and I die in my sleep, then go ahead and get some sleep. And then I roll over on the pillow. Well, fuck you. No, 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 no. So then work it out after that.
Then you work it out.
Yeah. You know, you do the thing. But she gets mad because people think that I'm like the easiest go. And for the most part, I am. If you cross me, then I lose it. I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I do have a temper. So, but she gets mad because people, she's proud of, I'm proud to be a bitch. I want people to bitch. You know, she's this whole thing. I think I talked about a couple weeks ago. She got mad when I would step in, you know, she gets mad when I step in when someone's yelling at her at the rink. She doesn't, you know, if a guy or she doesn't want me doing it. So I have to pull myself back. She says, I'm proud to be a bitch. I want people. She goes, but what pisses me is people think you're just like the nicest guy in the world that you get upset. Here I walk around. They go, da-da-da-da. I go, I tell them I have a temper. I go, I tell them I get mad, but they just don't believe it. But that's just the way it is. I mean, it's just, you know, when I used to coach hockey, I mean, people would just be like, God, he's just so easygoing. He's just so pleasant. But they didn't hear me yelling at their kid or grabbing their kid or, you know, I was smart when the parents would be right above you. You couldn't, I couldn't cuss at their kid then, but if I was across the other side of the rink, I was like, hey, you little fuck, what the hell? You know, I could do stuff like that. You know, like this kid said, I had one rule. I go, you don't question, a couple rules. You don't question me during the game and you don't yell at me during the game. I grabbed him by his cage, pulled him up. I go, are you yelling at me? He goes, yes. I go, you better stop. And I threw him back on the thing. Now, the dad actually liked that I did that, but temper and but she really gets mad that everyone thinks, oh, he's just so easygoing. He's just so easy to get along with. And I go,
I can't wait to comment on the next co-post of you and Cindy on Facebook and be like, Jack, you're such a nice guy. I can't believe it, how lucky Cindy is to be married to you for 30 something. How are you so laid back?
That will piss her off. She just gets so pissed. She goes, you're the most difficult fucking person to live with in the world. I go, hey, I know it. I go, but you know, but if the people out there don't know it, it doesn't hurt them, you know.
Anywho.
She goes, anyway, that's just life.
So I posted on the Facebook page that we were recording tonight and I was soliciting some feedback. I don't know if we have. Did we receive any feedback, Jack?
Oh, let me. We got no emails. No, did anyone put anything on the Facebook page?
Yeah, no one loves us.
Oh,
well, yeah, it's okay. We can talk for. Well, Tim asked, "Where's Brent? Where's Brent?
Is he alive? Is he getting married?
He's getting married. God, it's got to be coming up on a month now. I think it's October.
It's awesome.
Yeah, so he's done. So. I kid.
Poor guy.
You know, like my issue with, because I haven't been married, so I don't have anyone that drives me nuts, but I do have my mother. I love my mom, but she is the polar opposite of my mother. And so that's what makes it difficult for me to date. It's because they naturally don't get along. But my mom is one of the most neediest people on the planet. I can't tell you how many times that she's broken down crying in front of me over some shit that's in her head. I'm like, what are you talking about? I look at my dad. I go, how'd you deal with this your whole life? This woman's insane.
But he has that, you said he has that easy going. Hey, that's a roll with the punches.
He really does. But, you know, it's like, I mean, we went to Europe one time with a big group from our hometown. And I consider myself to be a very good son. I'm very considerate. You know, I'm like, do you want me to be with you today? Do you want me to pick you up anything? I'm going here. Like, do you want me to take a photo or something? Anything. I get it clear with her in the morning. And she would do it almost every day. I'd be like, oh, I'm going to go with this guy. Do you want to come with me? Or do you want to go with your girlfriends that are going to go shopping? And she feels the woman guilt of like, oh, I need to go with the girlfriends to go shopping. And then at the end of the day, I'm like, how's your day? She's like, she just starts crying. I can't believe you left me. You
know? Oh,
God.
God.
I didn't do anything. I asked if you wanted to come with me.
That's part of marriage you need to learn, because that's not the answer you got to give.
Yeah, but I'm her son. It's a difference. You know.
But I'm saying this is training you for marriage. You have to say, it isn't what do you want. It's no matter what she says, no, I want to spend it with you.
Yeah,
that's what you have to say. It's you have to say that.
I have a new crazy crackpot theory.
Okay.
your mom has hijacked your Facebook and you haven't realized it.
And she's blocking the girls. Yeah.
She's stopping them from talking to you.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just not going to do that anymore. Like, if anybody
sends back a picture of her wearing the fucking mask.
This is how I'm going to treat your kids. That's a great theory. You might want to change your password, Nick.
Yeah. Nick's mom is a smoke monster.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, man.
I love you, Nick. I'm just playing the role of Tim today, apparently.
Somebody else. Fine. I mean, God, like, I have a lot of trust issues because of her, too. Like, I remember in high school, my coaches wanted me to be a big guy. I have a very big frame, but I'm a skinny guy because I didn't want to be 200-something pounds in high school because they're like, you could go to college football if you just bulk up. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to live a normal life. And so they got to my mom and were like, if you put this in his food and if you put, do this, he'll start gaining weight.
Holy shit.
And she did it. And I remember, like, I used to drink milk all the time. And she cracked open two raw eggs and put it in my milk one day. And I, like, started to drink it. And I could just feel the slime going down my throat. And just
what's wrong with this milk?
Yeah, spit it all out. I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, did you just swear at me? I'm like, did you just put eggs in my damn milk? It just, oh, my God. And to this day.
She wanted you to play ball.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I mean, she was thinking of me. But no.
Wow.
To this day, though, like, I check everything. It's been, 17 years.
I scan my house. I come in there. Do you have, like, cameras all over your house?
When I go home, like, and everything she makes for me to eat now, I check it. I don't trust her. I just don't.
She makes you, like, a whey protein banana bread loaf.
Well, it's not. It's not just that. It's like, she's a hoarder. She doesn't throw away anything. I've literally found, like, a jar of jelly that's been expired 6 years in the fridge. And you're like, do you know how long jelly lasts? And this thing is 6 years expired.
Hold on. CJ would say forever.
CJ would say forever?
CJ would say forever. You don't look at the expiration date.
That's on, like, honey and butter. But,
yeah. I'm telling you, he says everything, nothing expires. So do you think that's why you're still single? Is that why?
I know. I can't blame my mom on this podcast because
she might listen.
If she heard it, God, she would just die.
Come on, did you put steroids in the ham and cheese again? God damn it.
My ass is getting hairy.
My balls are little.
Yeah, they're shrinking. They're shriveling up. Well, you don't need them anyway, dear. That's why I'm on your Facebook page.
Go make me put that mask on again.
Oh, that's too funny. Oh, my God. Our moms, you got to love them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, Nick. I thought you had a thing for Abraham Lincoln.
It's the beard.
I don't know. I think that's a good place to end it. What do you guys think?
Okay.
Unless you want to go on, Nick. I don't know.
Not about my mom. I've covered it. I don't want to give away all my mom stories.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's too funny.
Oh, man. Anywho, this probably is a great place to stop.
But if you guys like to send some feedback, if you have something your spouse does, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, you can send it to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, it's marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call. Maybe Jay will be back next week and we play the calls, or I'll figure out how to do it and put it on this. But it's 510-69-TAFFY. Once again,
Patreon.
Oh, we'll go through that in a second. 510-69-TAFFY. If you like this show and all the other shows, the broadcast, the Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys, Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys, Dancing Game with the Stars. We recorded Dancing with the Stars tonight and talked a little bit about Ryan Lochte. People charging the stage because a swimmer lied. All kinds of different shows you can listen to. You can go to patreon.com/JayandJack and become a patron there, or you can go to our Facebook page under patron, click on the button and donate there. Anything would be appreciated. At this time, I'd like to thank three special patrons, Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Glatfelter, and Brad from Chicago. Thanks for doing what you do. Any final statements, guys? Anything else you want to say?
I'm out. I'm done. I feel terrible. I just made fun of Nick's mom, kind of. Yeah,
Nick, can you give her us her number? We can all call her.
No.
Sorry.
I would not honestly want anyone. Do you realize, like, if anyone who actually knows me knew my mom and she found out I actually talked about her, oh my God, she would break down. She would just.
What if we raised like $1,500 on Patreon? Could we get your mom on the show?
Yeah.
No. He's gonna be a lot more than that. That would get me. You got to pay for therapy bills, okay? If that happens. You know?
Oh my God! All right, 2,000.
No. She's actually like. She's actually quite lovely to everyone else, you know. But like, she. I don't know if this is with your wives, but like, there's the side that you know, and then there's this total fake side when she's around other women and other people, and you're like, who the hell are you? And that's everyone knows my mom is that fake person, and then I know her, and I'm like. You know, you're not that person that you're portraying, you know.
What about a reality show?
It would be entertaining.
You and your mom. I think sounds like it'd be
it would have to be like a road trip type reality show or something.
Oh, that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
Because that's where we're at our best of just
you guys in a car driving.
Oh God, because she is that person that if I'm not talking to her on the phone, she will talk to herself. Trying to get me to talk about some crazy shit she's just spitting out of her mouth at that moment. And it could be like you're driving down the road and also go, there's a Cracker Barrel. There's a Wendy's. And I'm like, yeah, what do you want me to say? I've seen it. No, they're all Cracker Barrel. But like, you know, like she'll go, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, well, tell me what restaurant you want to eat at. She'll wait till we pass that thing like a mile and a half or go, oh, I wanted to eat at that Panera Bread back there. I'm like, well, why didn't you fucking say it a mile and a half ago? And then she'll go on for the next 2 days going, remember that Panera I wanted to eat at, but you didn't pull over? I'm like, fuck, Mom.
Maybe we shouldn't bring your mom on the show.
I think it'd be great. You know what?
All right, $2,500 if we get your mom on the show, and $500 of it will donate to the Abraham Lincoln Preservation Society.
Oh, that'd be like, it'd be like Jerry Springer to her. I mean, she'd be like, I came on for innocent reasons, and you're bringing up all the worst parts. I'm like, yeah.
And we'll bring we'll make sure Tim's on the show.
Oh God. I actually would not let that happen.
Oh, too funny.
I would be terrified of that. Oh, that I wouldn't be on the show.
I just start it and walk away. Text me when you guys are done. I'll hit
a rolling dumpster fire.
I'll stop broadcasting when you guys are done.
Hey, Nick's mom. When you have sex with Nick's dad, do you wear the mask?
Well, that is an interesting question, though. Not. Oh my God!
There's so many jokes that come to my mind, but I'm not going to share them.
Oh man, God, that's funny.
I can't. I won't do it.
All right, guys. That's it. That's all I got. anything else? Anything else we done?
No, I think we just kicked the dead horse.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. Hey, don't send your feedback, guys, and get to that $2,500 mark, and we'll have I was going to say Tim's mom, Nick's mom on the show.
Holy shit! No, we should get Tim and Nick's mom.
Just Tim and Nick's mom as of their own podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could be the weirdest thing ever.
We could just call it the Moms. Mom's podcast.
Oh, you mean Tim's mom and my mom? Or you mean Tim and okay.
No, no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The moms together. I think
moms.
That's interesting. You know what we could do? We tried to end this show like six times already. But have you seen that video of the older women who smoke weed for the first time?
No. Uh-uh.
Oh my God, it's hysterical. You Google it. It's just like, just do a Google search of the old lady smoking weed or whatever. They did it, and they have them sit around and they have them play Cards Against Humanity. And it is literally the fucking funniest thing. And if we have your moms on, we should get them to smoke weed and podcast.
Have some Mentos.
That would be hysterical. Hysterical. Anywho, okay.
All right, guys.
Okay.
I think Nick's like going, I don't want any part of this.
Like, why is Boston talking about my mom?
I'd rather vote for Abe Lincoln.
What the fuck?
All right, guys. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.